Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights, Outtakes from Hobby Hotline. Last Saturday, live show. Most of the episode was about the Topps Industry Summit and the announcements there. First, thanks sponsors, Upper Deck, Panini, and Topps, Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, CompC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. We started off talking about KPMG being brought in to audit or perhaps consult about the randomness or the appearance of impropriety with bigger breakers getting more of the better case hits. I was on with Adam Palmer and Horatio Ruiz, a robust conversation. I'm not sure we all agreed on that, but I'm wondering what evidence would be needed for people to say, hey, there's no conspiracy here. The audit and the consultation has to be, is every box getting the hit that they're supposed to get? Is every case getting the hit? But the question is, some hits are better than others. And after things are boxed up, do they know by box number or case number where the better case hits are? And they're hitting randomly. And if they knew, that would be a conspiracy. And I just don't see it. It's in the breaker's best interest to fan the flames and say, yeah, we're getting the best stuff. Come break with us. The other thing was the redemption card thing. I really think redemptions come about when you can't keep your promise to put an autograph card in there because you don't have it and you're ready to pack out. You can't uphold up the whole product. You've got a date where you've got to make a decision. Clearly, you'd rather have an on-card autograph than a sticker autograph, and you'd rather have a sticker autograph than a redemption potential autograph, but all those are better than a base card. And so I believe the companies need to provide to the best of their ability what they promise. If it says on the box there's going to be one autograph per box, there really ought to be one autograph, not a redemption for an autograph. But perhaps that's outside the control. So anyway, thanks, Adam. Thanks, Ratio. Audit seems like it's a pass-fail thing, but I don't think this really was. Obviously, they're going to get a pass, but not for favoritism, but I'm sure they were granted access and they were looking at all the processes and procedures and trying to figure out if there was room for improvement or safeguards that could be taken that maybe weren't being taken, more cameras. I think if KPMG probably did a full report of here's what we find, here are your vulnerabilities. But the main thing that Ruben is looking at is what are their perceptions of the public? This is to try to defeat that notion that his company or any of the companies are loading up boxes and know exactly where the big hits are. That's fundamental to their business. So they're not messing around with this. KPMG is a serious player. A lot of times, different companies have a preferred relationship with one of the big accounting firms, one of the big consulting firms. So I don't take issue with that. But I'm hoping Panini, Upper Deck, Leaf, any card company has safeguards in place, because if they do know what boxes the big hits are in, that's a huge problem. Adam, what could any company do to prove to you they're above board? Both of you guys sound really suspicious. I'm just trying to figure out what could Fanatics or Panini or Upper Deck or Leaf or any company do to satisfy you that it's random.
The report was very vague. There were no details. It didn't say which products they were inspecting or auditing. It was a short report. It basically repeated itself over the course of 2.5 pages. It's a step forward. It gives Topps Fanatics a little bit more credibility, but the report itself was flat. I took issue with a spokesman who said the allegations that we have loaded boxes are absurd and absolutely ridiculous, and this report proves it. I'm like, that to me seems more of a PR thing. So I think something with more details, with more transparency, would be what I would want.
Guys, yeah. In statistics, the null hypothesis is that there's no effect, that it's random. And there is not evidence enough when they look at it to see that there is evidence that it is not random. And so the report would be boring because they didn't have a finding of fault. Most of these big accounting firms have an audit group, and then some of them even split off the consulting group to keep them separate. To me, I see this more as a consultation than an audit. The audit is what the public wants to hear about, but I bet they rolled up their sleeves and tried to figure out where are the vulnerabilities. How could people be thinking this? And if it's just because the randomness of certain large breakers getting multiple big hits, that's to be expected. And if it really were a conspiracy, there's no way the secret could be kept.
Topps Chrome coming back pretty exciting news here.
I want more good cards. Basically, the world doesn't need another restaurant, but there's always room for another good restaurant. We don't need another sports card product of any kind unless it's adding something of interest. And I think this is. I'm happy about it.
Topps Chrome is one of the more iconic brands, and I'm glad that they're rolling out Topps Chrome.
The biggest thing was, what do the cards look like? And everyone agreed that the cards, based on that Wembanyama, like, it looks very nice. It's got the autograph. It's got the chrome design and everything. Also, there's Steph Curry, LeBron autos in there as well. It'll draw people into stores. The impact of it unlicensed. I personally prefer action shots, like on the cards, especially with basketball. Wembanyama with the ball on his shoulder, I think that's a great pose. I personally prefer seeing some action shots from some of these players. I'm not a big fan of unlicensed baseball. I just don't like the way it looks. But it's interesting how Wembanyama is, right? Like, you could see it's a Spurs jersey. You could see everything. You just don't see the logo.
Horatio?
Right. Yeah.
The only thing people see in that design is the autograph. With the autograph there, that's the primary attribute, whether it's got team logos or anything. It's a image of Victor, at least head and shoulders, and his autograph. And people are going to chase that. So we can quibble about what the base cards are going to look like, but the premium case hit cards are going to be, sure, it'd be great if it was fully licensed, but it's not.
How important do you think the return of Topps Chrome basketball is to the landscape for a company like Fanatics?
It's not the return of Topps Chrome. It's the early return, the earlier return than we were thinking. And I don't think anybody's against that. If you don't like it, you can pass on it. But you've mentioned the design element, and that's really important, probably to everybody. But the other aspect of product development is just the configuration of the set and the attributes and all that. Most of the decision makers, the product development team, were the senior guys at Panini that came over to Top, giving their imprint, their advice and counsel and strategies for how to make a pleasing set. Topps Chrome was coming. It's just coming earlier than we thought. The tricky thing, I think, is these LCSs, they really need to take this, because if they take it, then when the fully licensed Topps Chrome comes out in 2025 or 2026, whenever the license completely changes hands, they're going to want to be in good with Fanatics that, hey, we carry your full line of products.
Because Fanatics is going to be getting these licenses and they come out with more NFL and NBA products, do you think they're going to be as exciting? They'd hopefully have some autographs in there.
Adam, you said hopefully put autographs in there, and nothing could be farther from the truth. Autographs are driving these products, and the proliferation of autographs from 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds, I don't know how old CJ Stroud is, but Fanatics plays for keeps. They're predatory. They're grabbed up the autograph rights of these young players. When you look back in 10 years, unless it's something like LeBron, who didn't do autographs for a long time because of a contractual relationship with Upper Deck, otherwise LeBron would have 20 years worth of autographs. Michael Jordan has had his autographs restricted. Okay. Wembanyama, the proliferation of autographs is going to have an impact on our industry, with people paying huge bucks for first and second year or pre-rookie, all these different autograph cards, not just the base cards, but the autograph cards. And Fanatics needs to be careful, because if autographs become too easy, it drives down the price.
Pete Rose is going to have autographs in this year's Bowman Baseball.
I think Fanatics and Topps were completely above board with the Players Association, which Pete is not part of anymore, and with Major League Baseball, of which they're loosening up some of the restrictions. But most people know that Pete Rose is the most prolific autograph signer living. We think well over a million autographs that he's signed. But to put him on a one-of-one or a one-of-ten or a one-of-a-hundred with a cool design, but I don't believe there's any way Topps snuck this by anybody. And if it's provocative,
that's not what I meant, but yeah.
Guys, if we just keep remembering that Michael Rubin's mantra is 10x. If you put Pete Rose in your product, do you have a chance to gain new customers and new hobbyists? I think so. For every one person that's going to be turned off, there's going to be 10 that say, it's about time, or I'm excited to get an official Pete Rose Topps card that's signed with a modern design. Those are cool looking cards. So I think the move is to help expand the market, and it probably does.
Topps announced they had brought the redemptions from 70,000 all the way down to 10,000, and that they're going to be extending the redemptions from a 2-year window where the redemption expired to a 10-year expiration. They're going back to 2021 for retroactively making some of the expired redemptions unexpired now. Every year, the amount of redemption cards going into products are down substantially. That's been one thing that Michael Rubin has said in a lot of interviews, that he's trying to get rid of redemptions, which I think that's a phenomenal idea. I would like to see the expiration date be completely eliminated, just because you never know what could happen. But maybe they have to put some sort of parameters on these redemptions.
They're reducing headaches for themselves. It's headaches for us, but it's a headache for them to deal with a redemption or to deal with somebody that's a month past the expiration of the redemption. So they're avoiding all that. They're being gratuitous. I think most redemptions are going to come pretty soon. And to have less redeemable cards, they're moving in the right direction. But here's the unintended consequence. I hope this doesn't mean that more of the product will not be opened, that they can leave it sealed for 9 years. I think too much unopened product is not healthy. A product needs to be opened when it's issued. I want 90% of it to be opened. At least.
I hope this is a step for Fanatics to just get rid of redemptions. That's what Michael Rubin has been saying. Once they can figure out how to do that's going to be big. Redemptions really water down a product and make it a lot worse, in my opinion, Lisa.
He's still being tough on the company. So basically, I'm opening up a pack and I get a base card and a routine insert, another base card. That's one pack. The next pack open is base card, insert, redemption card. I'd rather have the redemption than a base card. The redemption means it's something at least good enough that I'm going to send in. So I'm not complaining. We don't want to eliminate them. We want to greatly reduce them. And Michael Rubin really wants to greatly reduce them because they're a hassle. They're a headache. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather have a redemption card than a common.
We had a good comment here from the 70s card show. Redemption should be for experiences, game tickets, meet and greets, throwing out the first pitch. I think that would be really cool. Obviously, one of the big redemptions this year was the one-of-one debut patch cards. Those, I'm okay with redemptions because you would imagine all those cards are made and they want those cards to be protected as much as possible.
I would sell the redemption cards for a little bit less than what the actual card would have gotten me because I was just scared of going through that whole process of turning it into the company, waiting months or whatever. Not knowing what might happen, I'd sell it off to somebody else to deal with the companies.
Okay, but what about Panini points? Would you rather have Panini points or a redemption card? With a redemption card, you know exactly what you get.
Sure.
With Panini points, you've got limited choices on some of the points levels of getting anything very decent. Otherwise, everything we're saying would apply to Panini points, that if you accumulate enough points, you could get an experience, you could get a whatever. But nobody likes Panini points either.
Right. Yeah, it's a catch-22 because if it's not the card that's in the product that they're saying is in the product, people are just going to be angry. They'll never be able to completely get rid of redemptions because they're dealing with so many athletes. Mad City Brew had a good comment here. Get rid of redemptions and just bring back the gum. I wouldn't be opposed to that idea.
Come on, Ed. You want a piece of gum instead of a redemption card in the pack?
I'm being a little facetious here.
Adam, your other point was with accounting firms and with generally accepted accounting processes, you have to have an expiration date. Otherwise, it's like an unlimited liability that you have to carry on your books forever. So you're going to be able to write it off after 10 years. Otherwise, it's just out there forever, and that's a headache.
Oh, okay. I guess I never thought of it that way. When redemptions do expire and they still have the cards, what do they do with the cards? Do they just keep them in the warehouse or are they putting them in other packs? Like once the redemption date expired.
I don't imagine anybody's destroying cards, but if I had an expired redemption and it was expired by a year, I'd bring it to the National. And I go up to the company's booth and say, I don't know if you still have these. I know I'm late, but I got this. And I opened a box that had been sealed till this time. Can you help me out? And if they still had it, I don't think they're going to say, get out of here, kid. They're going to say, you know what? We don't have those left anymore. You're just too late. Or they may say, hey, we've got something that's a substitute. In fact, that's what Panini has done. When they have extra stuff, they've used it to redeem when they don't have the thing that you're supposed to get because they didn't get the autographs. They have a pool of stuff that didn't get redeemed, like you said, that's expired, but they have the autograph card and they can offer that as a consolation prize if you didn't get the thing where the guy didn't return his autographs. So they can't comply with that, but they can give you something out of their vault. I'm guessing stuff like that would happen. It has value, guys. You just wouldn't throw it in the trash.
Like, it's almost like Panini points, where when you have a certain amount of points or what a card would be worth necessarily, they can probably figure out how much they can give you in value back.